It's Sunday, the 8th of November, 2015. Happy birthday to Toure Murray. Hello and welcome to the Red Rock Fantasy Basketball Monster Podcast brought to you by Moneyball.com.au and Lefty_Rosenthal. My name is Josh Lloyd and you can find me on Twitter at @RedRock_Bball, which you can see on the screen if you are watching along on YouTube. Be like Lefty_Rosenthal and be a sponsor of the podcast. You can do that just by leaving a review for the show on iTunes. It is always supremely helpful for everyone who's done that. So thank you to Lefty for leaving a review and being today's sponsor. And of course, Moneyball.com.au, who is the sponsor of the podcast going forward, Australia's only daily fantasy sports site. And a big shout out to everyone who's been playing on that. And if you're in Australia and you're not, you need to get on it and you need to start playing and winning some money. And I know a lot of Red Rock listeners have been winning some pretty decent cash on Moneyball so far. All right, Saturday's games are done. They're in the book. There's quite a bit to talk about with 9 games on. I don't think we should waste any time.
Let's get to it.
Thank you, Michael Bolton. The monstrous line of the night goes to James Harden. Harden was fantastic against the Clippers again. He dropped 46 points, his second consecutive game of 40-plus points. He hit 5 threes, had 4 rebounds, 2 assists, a steal. Really, really efficient. 14 of 26 from the field. He went 13 of 14 from the free throw line. Yes, he had 7 turnovers, but you know that with James Harden. Remember when we were panicking about James Harden? Well, not we. Remember when some people were panicking about James Harden? That's pretty much done and dusted. He's putting up some fantastic numbers. And this is what I was saying at the start of the season when he was going through those struggles. Don't worry, because the thing that was falling behind was his field goal percentage. He's picked it back up. He's almost averaging 30 points a game. He's right there. He's at 2.5 threes. He's at 6 rebounds, almost 6 assists, almost 2 steals, almost a block, and he's still only shooting 38% from the field. When that comes up, it's all over for anyone who's playing against James Harden in fantasy leagues. He's going to be an elite player this season. I don't think there's much doubt about that. He's putting up some really massive numbers at the moment, and it's great if you happen to draft him, because I know I've got him in a couple of places, and I'm very happy with what he's doing so far. The waiver wire line of the night, I know a lot of people would have been calling for me to have Nemanja Bjelica in this spot, but I'm not. I'm putting Jared Bayless as the waiver wire line of the night, because he's only owned in a very small percentage of leagues, 3% of leagues, and he had a massive game again. 19 points, he hit 3 threes. Had a rebound, he had 10 assists, he had 2 steals and 2 blocks, along with 7 of 13 shooting and 2 of 2 from the free throw line. The waiver wire line of the night is not necessarily the guy who's the best pickup all the time, it's the guy who's owned, who's available in leagues, who has the best performance on that day. And that's exactly what Jared Bayless did. He's had a couple of stinkers, and that was the last game when I decided to use him in my daily fantasy lineup. The other two games where he's played big minutes, he's put up really big numbers. He's actually averaging 31 minutes a game this season. And not all of those minutes have been in games where Michael Carter-Williams has been out. So he's being used quite a lot by Jason Kidd. Now, when Carter-Williams comes back and when OJ Mayo comes back, it's hard to see him getting those sort of numbers. We don't really know when Mayo's back. We don't know when Carter-Williams is back. It'll probably be sometime this week. But for now, 2 threes from Bayless a game, 4 assists, a steal. They're pretty usable numbers. Even if it's a short-term streaming sort of guy in a 12-team league, you can use what Bayless is offering. Especially if he's going to continue to give you a steal, 4 assists, and 2 threes, that's really useful. The poor field goal percentage isn't great. The scoring is not awesome, but those other numbers are quite handy. So he's a really good streaming option if you're looking for those stats that he brings. He's not going to maintain long-term value, I wouldn't have thought. But the way the kid's using him, it's a little bit weird that he is getting so many minutes, even when Carter Williams is playing. So let's just monitor that situation with Jared Bayless and see exactly how it all pans out. The young gun of the night, and I'm very excited to give this one out tonight. It's a guy who was the dud of the night yesterday, and that is Lord Alfred Payton of the Orlando Magic. After being benched by Scott Skiles, playing 15 minutes yesterday, he played 33 today, 20 points, 2 rebounds, 5 assists, 3 steals, a block. He went 8 of 10 from the field and 4 of 4 from the free throw line. They are completely not what you expect and not what you bank on Alfred Payton to do. But that's fine. You'll take it. What it is good, or the good thing about it, is the fact that he got on the court for so many minutes. You have to... obviously, patients are going to be involved in owning him. And pretty much with anyone on Orlando, there's some weird things happening. Payton's up one game, he's down the other game. Toby Harris is up one game, he's down the other game. Aaron Gordon's up, he's down. The only guys who are getting consistent minutes are Oladipo, Evan Fournier, and Nick Vucevic when he plays. So he's got to settle into a rotation here. We're not, definitely not dropping Payton. It's the worst time to try and trade him. You drafted him knowing that percentages were going to be bad. Just let's just wait for these things to come up. The good thing about what he's doing so far is, yes, he's shooting poorly, but he's hitting half a three a game, which is way more than I anticipated. It's not enough to be a massive impact, but if you can get that extra half a three to 0.8 threes a game from him, then he gets to 11 points and he gives you 6 assists and 2 steals and 5 rebounds. It's a pretty useful player. Now we just have to hold on. Hopefully Skiles just starts running him out there a lot more and doesn't give the minutes to CJ Watson and just pushes Payton out there for 35, 36 minutes a night. That's what we have to hope at this point, but there's not much else you can do. If it persists, I think I said this yesterday, if it persists for 2-3 weeks where he's getting 15, 18 minutes, then we go, yeah, well, something's not right. But it was one game. He went back to a big night tonight, and that's sort of what we expected. The dud of the night, for the second time in about 4 or 5 nights, goes to Nikola Mirotic of the Chicago Bulls. Mirotic played 17 minutes. He had 4 points, 3 rebounds, and 1 steal. He shot 1 of 8 from the field. He hit both his free throws. He had 5 fouls. He had 2 fouls within the first 2 minutes, and that caused him to sit a lot. The fouls were obviously a huge problem. His minutes have been way down lately. He's still average. Look, his numbers are still pretty good. He's in 26 minutes a game. He's over 12 points, 2 threes, 5.5 rebounds, a steal, half a block. His shooting percentage is low, and we anticipated that was going to be the case. But these games where he's had so many fouls, they're really limiting his minutes. There's no need to panic for me with Mirotic at this point. I'm obviously monitoring the situation, but I don't see there's any way that he's just going to continue to get 17 minutes a night or pick up quick fouls or anything like that. He's a talented guy. He's a gifted shooter. He's a gifted offensive player. These numbers are going to bounce back. I'm definitely not dropping Mirotic in any sort of situation at this point. You have to hold on. You've got no other choice. You definitely don't drop him. And I saw I think I saw a tweet for someone asking, do I drop Mirotic to pick up Nemanja Bjelica? No. You just have to hold on to Mirotic. It's a slump, and there are reasons for it. It is a foul trouble slump. It is not he is being benched due to poor play. He's having a real shooting funk. But whatever, I'm not concerned about Nikola Mirotic. I know a lot of you guys are. I'm definitely still holding steady, and I'm not worried at all. We're still going to be on track with him. There's no signs to me that he is losing a starting job or losing minutes in the rotation, aside from a cold night, a defensive issue, or fouls. And these will happen at times, but there are going to be nights where he gets 30 minutes and gets 35 minutes a night and puts up big numbers and goes out and has 25 and 12 with 2 steals and 2 blocks. And people are going to be, back on the Nikola Mirotic bandwagon. Hopefully that doesn't take too long to start to happen. But for now, just a little bit of patience with these guys. There are obviously reasons for these things happening. And that's exactly what's happening with Mirotic at the moment. All right, let's move into these games and talk about them now in a little bit more detail. For all you guys who are watching live on YouTube, you can see it up on the screen. I've got the box score shared for you to have a look at. The first game is a game we've talked about a little bit already, and that is the Minnesota Timberwolves and the Chicago Bulls. The Timberwolves with the big victory in overtime. The Bulls were held scoreless through overtime, the first time in their history that they didn't manage to trouble the scorers in the overtime period. Karl Anthony Towns, much like Nikola Mirotic, he picked up a couple of early fouls. That limited him to 27 minutes, but he kept his fouls in check for most of the game. He went 17 and 13 with a steal and 4 blocks. And yeah, he's really good. I don't think we need to say much more about Karl Anthony Towns. He's going to be a really, really... He's going to be an excellent player in this league at some point throughout his career. I don't think there's much doubt about that. For now, there's going to be rookie fluctuations. You're going to have big nights. You're going to have poor nights. But I think that... If he doesn't finish inside the top 50 this year, it'll be a little bit of a minor upset considering how well he's started. The guy who's on everyone's lips and everyone's tweets and everyone's keyboards is Nemanja Bjelica. who played 40 minutes in this game. He went 17-11. He hit 2 threes, had 5 assists, 1 steal, and 1 block. When we get into the listener question portion of the show later on, you'll see there's probably a few questions there from people asking what to do with Bielitsa. And that's an impressive line. Definitely no doubt that's an impressive line. You know, great percentages there, 17-11. It's a double-double, 2 threes, a steal, and a block. And he has got potential. We have to remember that the Timberwolves were without Kevin Martin in this game, so there was more offensive opportunities for players. Now, not only he took a huge amount of shots, but that's also worrying in itself, that he played 40 minutes and took only 9 shots. That's a little bit worrying in that sense, that he's not aggressive offensively. His numbers for the season, he's played 29 minutes a game. He's averaging 7.6 points. Not great. 1.2 threes, 8 rebounds. Really like that. 2.6 assists, they're good. 0.8 steals, half a block. 46% from the field is okay. 55% from the line is not okay. I'm not rushing to grab him. Look, in a 12-team league, you can make a case that he's a guy that you want to add. But it depends on who you're looking to drop. Because his numbers are okay, but they're not brilliant. And those points can be an issue. If you've got Ersan Ilyasova, dropping him for Bielitsa, I think that's an okay move. But Bielitsa is playing off the bench. There are nights when Towns isn't going to play 26 minutes and Towns is going to play 35 minutes. And Kevin Martin's going to be in there. And you know, Jeng is starting to play better as well, although Bielitsa seems to be preferred to Jeng, especially at the power forward spot where Jeng is basically playing no minutes. I still maintain that the combination of Jeng and Towns can work. The Timberwolves never seem to use it. Can't really explain why, but I'm sure that combination can work together because both of those guys have got range. We see what Jeng can do. He's a really good player. We're talking Bielitsa here, obviously. Yes, add him in certain situations, but he's not a guy where I'm dropping, you know, players of value. I'm not dropping Nikola Mirotic to grab Bielitsa. As much as I love Bielitsa and I think he's a really good player and I was, you know, pretty excited about him coming over in the offseason, this is one game. He could go out and have a stinker in the next game. And his numbers to date have been good, and they're not putting him inside the top 100 what he's done so far. He's out. I think he's about 115th at the moment. So he's not at that level where we go, oh yeah, you have to grab him at all costs. In certain places, yes, and you take a risk and see how it pans out. But if you've got a super strong team, I'm not dropping value players for him. Ricky Rubio, a really poor shooting night, 2 of 10. At 7, 8, and 10 with 3 steals is a good night. And Andrew Wiggins, you broke free of his slump, but really, really hurt you in the percentages. Went 11 of 27 from the field, went 5 of 10 from the free throw line. He was 4 of 5 from 3. He'd only hit 1 3 combined for the whole season. So those 4 threes, which I think came all in the first half, seem a little bit fluky. He ended up with 31 points, 3 rebounds, 2 assists, and a block. And this is, again, the problem with Wiggins as a fantasy performer. Yeah, he scored well. He's not a three-point shooter. He offers nothing else. 3 rebounds, 2 assists, a steal, and a block. It's good, but it's not a great overall fantasy performance. So big night from Wiggins. He looked fantastic. Yeah, nice spin move dunk, hitting a lot of threes early on. But I don't know. There's just not a lot of fantasy goodness in other areas. Gorgui Dieng went 6-7 with a couple of steals. Zach LaVine, 8-4-4 in 19 minutes. And of course, Tayshaun Prince played 39 minutes. For what reason? I've got zero idea. Just put Shabazz Muhammad out there. Let him play more minutes. I don't understand Tayshaun Prince playing 39 minutes. If anyone can explain it to me, please let me know. The Bulls, 21-14 for Pau Gasol. 14 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals, 1 block. A good night from Pau. Tony Snell had his best game of the season, 14-6 with 4 threes. But that's what it takes for him to have a decent night, is for him to just hit a few threes. He doesn't do enough for me. Doug McDermott started. He's been red hot with his shooting. He was 4 of 5, 11 points, 2 rebounds, and not much else. And again, that's basically what you get from Doug McDermott. Points and threes, not a massive amount else. Joakim Noah, 3 points. Yuck. 11 rebounds, 7 assists, a steal, and a block is decent. So he's on that fringe of 12-team leagues for me. I can see owning him. I can see not owning him. But I think that a lot of his minutes are a factor of Bielitsa Mirotic not putting up or not being on the court due to the fouls. And if he was there, Noah wouldn't get quite as many minutes. Jimmy Butler really struggled. He went 4 of 15 from the field, 3 of 6 from the line, 11 and 8. Still added 2 steals and a block, so that's okay. And Derrick Rose also struggled. 3 of 13 shooting for him, 11, 3 and 5. So the two big Bulls guys in the backcourt didn't provide a huge amount of value for the game. The next game up is the Orlando Magic and the Philadelphia 76ers. The Magic got the victory in the end, I said before, led by Alfred Payton. Dwayne Dedmon, another start in place of Nikola Vucevic. 30 minutes for Dedmon, 12 and 9 with 3 blocks and a steal. I mentioned this the other day. He was 8 of 8 from the free throw line, which is a surprise. But he was the guy that you wanted to look at when Vucevic went down. He would give you that short-term boost in blocks and boards. And for as long as Vucevic remains out, which might only be another game, we don't really know at this point. There is no structural damage, just a bone bruise. So Dedmon has short-term value and a lot of DFS value. Victor Oladipo, 15, 5, and 3 with a couple of steals. Aaron Gordon, 22 minutes for him. I don't feel like he's a must-own guy in 12-team leagues. 10 and 6 with a 3 is nice, but the minutes aren't there, and they seem to come solely at the expense of Toby Harris. Toby Harris played 26 minutes here. Gordon played 22. That's basically the 48 minutes at the small forward or the power forward position. Harris went 9, 4, and 3 with a steal and a block, and he's up and down like a yo-yo with Scott Skiles' rotations. Evan Fournier, of course, played 40 minutes, 17 with 3 threes, 3 rebounds, 2 assists, and a steal. Not many other stats apart from points there, but he's obviously still a guy we're holding on to. For the Sixers, Isaiah Cannon is flourishing in a bench role. He struggled mightily as a starter. He has been really good as a bench guy. He had 23 points, including 6 threes here, 3 steals, and a block. He's not a point guard. He's a shooting guard, and he's playing that role off the bench brilliantly. He is still averaging, despite his struggles this season, he's averaging 2.5 threes a game and 13 points. These are numbers that are useful, and you have to consider using him basically. If you need those points and threes, he's going to continue to have that role. He's not starting, but he off the bench last year, he was better as a bench guy. He's better here as a bench guy. He hitting a lot of threes. The field goal percentage hurts, but you're going to get points and threes. So there's a little bit of use in Isaiah Cannon, so don't discount him. Nick Stauskas has got the shooting guard job on lockdown, though. 36 minutes for him, 18, 3, and 5, 3 threes and a block. He is a must-own for me in all 12-team leagues. I would rather Stauskas over Bielitsa at this point. I think Stauskas has got the role sort of locked up. He's got the shots and the opportunity locked up in Philadelphia. There's no one taking the minutes away from Stauskas. I think that he is a guy that you want to look at. And TJ McConnell, big game, bad game, big game. 36 minutes for him, 6 points, 8 rebounds, 9 assists, 3 steals, 2 blocks, a really nice all-around performance. They love what he's doing in Philadelphia. I think you have to own him at this point, but I'm not convinced that it's long-term. I'm pretty sure, and I think there was a tweet that came from Tom Moore today, one of the Sixers writers, that he'd been talking to people on the team, and they still think that when Kendall Marshall comes back, Marshall will be given the starting point guard job after he eases himself into the rotation. So McConnell might have 6 weeks' worth of value, but when Roten comes back, when Marshall comes back, someone's getting cut. They think that either someone's going to get cut, it's going to be Cannon, or it's going to be McConnell. And they do really like what they've got from McConnell. Look, it might be Roten, it might be Marshall that gets cut, but they think that Marshall will be the number one guy probably by Christmas at some point there. So just, again, add him by all means. He's a great add for now, but don't drop too many great value guys, or don't trade a value guy to get him off someone. Jeremy Grant suffered a poke in the eye, limited him to 23 minutes, 11 and 4 with a block. He was looking okay, but he's not much for standard leagues. Jahlil Okafor, 19 and 5, 3 blocks, which is great, but the free throw shooting started to come into play here. 5 out of 10 from the line. This is what we expected from him, to be a pretty poor free throw shooter. So the red hot start he had to the season is it's taking a hit, and that's what we anticipated. And hopefully if you own him, you're anticipating that as well. Nerlens Noel, a real bad night for him. 21 minutes, 2 points, 4 rebounds, and a block. He got ejected after smacking Jason Smith upside the head because Smith had been getting into him with forearms and elbows, and Noel retaliated, got himself kicked out. It's an issue when they don't have many other guys to play that position. Rashawn Holmes took the role on when Noel went out, and he played well. 8 and 6 with a block in 18 minutes, and he's a guy that I was speaking with Mark Roberts about it today, that he projects as having a real lot of fantasy value if he was to get the minutes. So if something was to happen to Noel and they said, yeah, look, Rashawn Holmes is going to be our starting power forward, he's a guy that I'd want to look at in standard league. So for now, he's a deep league guy, but it's nice to see that he was that first option. And you know, he's going to have that value. I'm glad they didn't give it to Jakar Sampson and go small. Well, I'm glad that, you know, Christian Wood would have been an interesting guy, but Holmes is the guy who's going to have that value there. So keep an eye on him and keep an eye on the Philadelphia situation if something happens to go wrong. The Washington Wizards and the Atlanta Hawks, Otto Porter with a career night, 23 points, not much else. A red hot night from him with three threes, and it's obviously great for him. I've been a big Otto Porter supporter throughout his career, despite not many returns. Nene had his best night, a double-double, 10-10 in 22 bench minutes with three steals, while John Wall, 19-12 with two steals and a block. So kept the blocks going. Marcin Gortat, 10-10 as well, a low-end line, but still pretty nice. And Chris Humphries went 9-6 in 25 minutes. Brad Beal is probably the big story from this game. He struggled before the injury, played 37 minutes, 11 points on 5 of 12 shooting. 6 rebounds and 6 assists is really nice, but the shooting, it was bound to regress. It did here. And then he also had the left shoulder injury. He ran into Jeff Teague, left the court holding his arm. Apparently in the tunnel after the game, he was walking, not moving his left arm at all. He's gone for scans on his arm. We don't know any results on these scans at this point. Hopefully it's not a serious injury to Brad Beal, but he has been injury prone throughout his career, his short career. Thankfully it's not his leg. It's a completely separate incident. Let's just wait and see what happens. If he was to miss time, Gary Neal would likely be the biggest beneficiary for guys that aren't owned. Otto Porter's the guy who's going to probably get more of the offense like we saw today in that sort of role. But Neal would probably get the majority of the minutes if Beal was out. Although last year, Garrett Temple inexplicably got the minutes. So who knows what Randy Whitman is going to do. Onto the Hawks side of things, another big game from Paul Millsap. He was really close to the monstrous line of the night. 21-7-6, 3 threes, 2 steals, 2 blocks. He just does everything and he goes completely underrated. Al Horford, 14-9 with a block. Jeff Teague, 10-4-8 with 5 steals and 2 threes. So big nights from a lot of these guys. Horford and Teague struggled with their shooting. But the guy most people want to hear me talk about, I think, is Kent Bazemore, who played 29 minutes. He had 25 points, hit 4 threes, had 4 rebounds, 3 assists and 2 steals. People are calling me out on Twitter saying, you know, am I going to admit that he's not good? I still don't think he's great, but he's definitely playing very well, and he's a must-own guy now in every format. He probably was a couple of days ago. He was someone you should have added probably last week and see what panned out, but for now it looks like it's definitely panning out in his favor. He's, you know, averaging almost 2 threes a game. He's at 12 points, 5 rebounds, 2.5 assists, 2 steals. Pretty good results. His shooting is what's really impressing me, though. He's at 50% on the year and 88% from the line, when last year he was a 43% and 60% shooter. So he's probably due for some regression there. Given, like, okay, he's 3 years in the league. His rookie season, 37-61. His second season, 43-61. Last season, 43-60. This year, 50-88. Either he's just had the greatest offseason in the history of the world, or he's due for some regression. And he's probably not going to be a 43-60 guy, but he's also not going to be a 50-88 guy. So there is going to be some regression for Kent Bazemore. I'm fairly confident that will be the case. Thabo Sefolosha returned to the lineup, 10-4 in 20 minutes. So a pretty decent night from him. And Kyle Korver, you know, obviously wasn't able to be as perfect as he was yesterday. 7 points and 6 assists, though, is still a pretty decent return. Thiago Splitter sat this one out due to rest, so Mike Muscala played his first decent minutes in quite a while. 7 points for Muscala in 19 minutes. Hopefully this rest means that Splitter is able to get some decent minutes in these games coming forward. I just don't understand why he isn't getting run when he's clearly the superior guy over Muscala and Scott. Neither Muscala or Scott, or even Splitter at this point, need owning in 12-team leagues, although that situation for Splitter could change if he starts getting 25 to 26 minutes a night. The next game up, the Brooklyn Nets and the Milwaukee Bucks. The Nets continued to struggle, and then Brook Lopez hurt his foot. He didn't break his foot. He's just got a sore right foot. So he could miss a game or two. It doesn't appear too serious at this point, which is good. He just had a sore foot, so obviously they're going to be cautious with him. He was looking really good as well. 20 points, 4 rebounds, 2 blocks. He was doing some pretty good work there. Let's just keep an eye on that situation and see what news comes out. Thomas Robinson and Andrea Bargnani will likely pick up the slack. Bargnani is a guy to add if you want scoring. Robinson's the guy to add if you want rebounds and blocks. Neither guy, assuming this Lopez injury isn't a long-term thing, neither guy is a must-add player to me. Thad Young, 18-13 with 2 steals. He's been really good after a real struggle to start the season. And Rondae Hollis-Jefferson in another start. He's just got no offense. 2 points, 7 rebounds, 5 assists, and 3 steals. He's a nice defensive player, so you can use that in certain situations. Joe Johnson, 8, 9, and 6. The shooting not there after it was the game before, but still providing in those peripheral areas. So he's not someone to completely discount. And Jarrett Jack had another poor shooting night. 3 of 10 for 10 points, 6 rebounds, and 2 assists. And he still has to be owned, as bad as he is as a player. On the Bucks side of things, Chris Middleton got close to a triple-double. He went 14, 9, and 7 with 3-3. So after his struggles in preseason and struggles to start the season, he's getting into a groove. Greg Monroe, after being limited in yesterday's game, he was back at it, 20 and 8, 2 steals, 2 blocks. No need to really panic there. Because, as I stated before, Jason Kidd hates John Henson. John Henson, after going 22 and 5 with 3 blocks yesterday, played 9 minutes. 4 points, 4 rebounds, and a block. This is the problem with Jason Kidd and John Henson, is that, you know, Henson's played 3 games now, 10 minutes, 9 minutes, and 23 minutes, or whatever he played in yesterday's game. It's not reliable enough. Yeah, he can be a really great blocks guy, but the minutes are so all over the place. In a bit of a surprise, Jabari Parker started the second game of a back-to-back. He actually increased his minutes, went to 24. 8-2 is not a great return, but it's encouraging that he's playing back-to-back straight away, increasing his minutes. Maybe it will be before December that we see him back at 30 minutes. I'm not really sure you want to own him yet because he's not productive and he's still working his way back in. And it might be 2 weeks, 3 weeks before you are getting someone who is productive, but I can see the appeal in adding him. General Grievous Vasquez was 0 for 10 from the field in his 28 minutes. Nothing to be too excited about there. And Johnny O'Brien continues to get minutes, 6 and 7 in 16 minutes a game, or 16 minutes in this game. He looks a lot better, though, so I'm not going to be too critical of the fact that Johnny O'Brien is getting minutes. Still odd to me that O'Brien's getting minutes over John Henson. The next game up, the Charlotte Hornets and the San Antonio Spurs. Kemba Walker was on fire in this game. Didn't amount to much because the Spurs got the win pretty easily. But Walker had 27 points with 4 assists and a couple of steals. And a very typical Nick Batum line helped him. 10, 4, and 4 with 3 steals. Marvin Williams, this is Marvin Williams. 9 and 4 with a 3 and a steal. Still played 27 minutes. So still got the majority of the minutes there. But this is more what Marvin Williams is. So everyone was right to add him. And you're not dropping him just yet. But this is more what we expect from Marvin Williams moving forward. So don't be surprised if he averages 10 and 6 on the season. This is Marvin Williams, not these, 13 and 15 with 3 blocks and 3 threes. That's not him. Al Jefferson, 13 and 7, pedestrian night for him. PJ Harrison in the start, there's no value in him. Let's look at what Jeremy Lamb did after being, the best shooter in the world for 2 games. He went 2 of 8 for 4 points in 23 minutes. This is why we don't want to, we didn't want to add Jeremy Lamb. Jeremy Lamb. Jeremy Lin and Jeremy Lamb on the same team is not good. This is why we don't want to add Jeremy Lamb, because the minutes are capped and he's not a guy that provides much outside of scoring, and he wasn't going to hit him at that rate. So you just always got to read into these sort of things just to see exactly what's happened in the game. When you see a guy with 20 points, everyone's like, oh, 20 points, Jeremy Lamb, let's go and grab him. But just look into it. And that shooting is never going to be sustainable. And you probably drop no one to grab him. But if you drop someone of value, it wouldn't be a great feeling seeing Jeremy Lamb go out there and put up 4 points. And that's probably more likely what he does rather than some of the other numbers. Kawhi Leonard for the Spurs, 23 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals, a couple of threes. He's really good. LaMarcus Aldridge played just 17 minutes. He was bothered by foul trouble. So David West played his most minutes as a Spur. 29 minutes for West, 9, 9, and 6. We're not adding David West on the back of that. We're not dropping LaMarcus Aldridge, obviously. Danny Green, let's go Danny Green watch. 27 minutes for Green, 8 points, 3 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals, 1 block, 1 3. That's a pretty standard Danny Green line. The shots still aren't falling for him. The minutes are still there. Yes, it is hard to deal with, but you have to hold on. Manu Ginobili is a really interesting guy here to me. 18 minutes for Ginobili, 13, 3, and 3 with 3 steals and 3 threes. And that is a lot of times to say 3 in a sentence. He's putting up really consistent numbers. Yes, you have to deal with the minutes and you have to deal with the games that he might miss. But he's putting up numbers where in 12-team leagues, you have to pay attention to him and you have to go, you know what, I'm just going to add Manu. If you're in a 14-team league, there's no way he should be available. He has to be owned in that sort of situation. In a 12-team league, he's close to being a guy, well, not a must-own player. That's probably going a little bit too far. He's close to being a guy that you have to consider. He's currently ranked 50th in our 9-cat value. He's averaging almost 4 assists, almost 2 steals, almost 2 threes, 11 points. If you say that you can't use that on your team, you're probably lying. So just don't ignore Manu Ginobili. Don't expect the wheels to completely fall off because they're just not going to this year. There's going to be some injury problems, yes, but for now, he's worth a look. Tony Parker added 6 assists with 7 points, and not much else to really talk about in this game, I don't think. Next up, the New Orleans Pelicans and the Dallas Mavericks. The Pelicans had a lot of guys out. No Quincy Pondexter, no Norris Cole, no Omer Asik. Drew Holiday sat with it being a back-to-back. Obviously, no Tyreke Evans. Eric Gordon, 21-5-4 with 5 threes. And Ryan Anderson had 21-9 as well. And Anthony Davis, it feels pedestrian for Anthony Davis, but 25-6 with a steal and 2 blocks. They were the main contributors, but there's just not many other guys on this team. Ish Smith got the start. He played 33 minutes, 7-7-7 with 2 steals and a block. Yeah, you can look at, if I'm owning a point guard who's a no-name guy, I'm owning TJ McConnell easily over Ish Smith. Smith will have decent nights, he'll have big assist nights, he'll have limited nights as well, so there's not a huge amount to be excited about with him. Luke Babbitt got another start, played 19 minutes, 5 fouls. He's a guy who'd been getting almost 30 minutes a night prior to this, and you'd think that he's going to continue to get pretty decent run. He doesn't have much fantasy value, he'll have the occasional big night. It's something to watch, though, because he can get hot and start hitting threes, and if he's going to get 30 minutes, you have to pay attention. Doesn't mean you have to add him, but you have to pay attention. The Dallas Mavericks side of things. Darren Williams continues to impress me, and it's not easy to do when your name's Darren Williams to impress me. 19-3-2, 3 threes and 2 steals. Maybe I'm just hoping that he keeps this up because I've got him on so many teams, but I think he's set for a pretty decent season in Dallas. And Dwight Powell. The 7-of-9 shooting is not sustainable. 15-7 is a good return, a block. He played 26 minutes for the second consecutive night. 12-team leagues have to pay attention. He's not a must-own guy, but he's getting some pretty nice run, and he looks like a really good player to me. I think he's going to be a decent guy. But the minutes, he's not going to be a 30-to-32-minute guy unless Zaza or Dirk gets injured, which is a possibility for both of those guys. But Dwight Powell, someone to pay attention to and add in certain situations. Zaza Pachulia is still around on a lot of waiver wires. Again, I don't really understand why. 9 points for him, 14 rebounds, a steal. He's been quite productive this season, especially for 12-team leagues. Wes Matthews got his minutes up to 29, 13-2-2. Still not great production from him. Let's just wait it out to the end of the month. If he's still getting big minutes and they're not producing, then maybe you can consider dropping him. But off that, you still have to hold on to him. Dirk with 18-7. He got red hot in the second half of this game. Not many other numbers from him, but still a decent performance. And Chandler Parsons played 15 first half minutes. Not much else to talk about with the bench guys here, apart from John Jenkins is still yet to be cited in the last week or so. The Memphis Grizzlies and the Utah Jazz, another big loss to the Grizzlies. Dave Yeager said he is going to start tightening that rotation, and we could see it here. Marc Gasol played 38, Zach Randolph played 38, Mike Conley played 40 minutes. So guys who'd been getting 20 minutes a night, like Jermichael Green, like Beno Udrih, like Brandon Wright, who only played 6 minutes here with a knee problem, they're going to get phased out of the rotation a bit. So we're going to see these other guys start to get big minutes. Conley was good, 24-5 with 3 threes. Zach Randolph, 10-9. Marc Gasol, 13-10-6 with a block. They're clearly underperforming, though, most of these Grizzlies players. I still think that Conley and Gasol are buy low guys, but you have to get the right level of buy low. If you're sending a top 25 guy for Marc Gasol, it's not buy low. If you're sending a guy who's ranked 60th for Marc Gasol, that's okay. Gasol's ranked outside the top 100 at the moment, so I don't know if someone buys it, but the Grizzlies are really struggling. I'd still be throwing those offers out there, but again, just see how low you're actually going. The wing players, Courtney Lee, 6-5-2, Jeff Green, 8-4, and Tony Allen, 5-7 with 3 steals. That's pretty much expected from those guys. It's hard to own any of them apart from a spot start streaming option. If Brandon Wright happens to go down, we'll probably have to see some more, obviously more minutes for Gasol, but we'll have to see some more Jermichael Green and some more Jarnell Stokes. Trey Burke got red hot for the Jazz. He hit 24 points with 6 three-pointers. Not a huge amount else, but he's been providing a decent spark off the bench. I think that's probably his role, is being a bench guy, being a backup sixth man sort of player. He's averaging 13 points, 1.7 threes, and a steal in 23 minutes, putting up some decent numbers. It's worth a look for 12-team leagues, definitely. He's not a must-own guy. Only 2 assists is not ideal, but he's fitting into this role nicely. Hal Neto as the starting point guard played 12 minutes, 4-2-2. We don't need to deal with him. Rodney Hood, 3 blocks. That's out of the ordinary. 7 points, 2 rebounds, 2 assists. And Gordon Hayward really got it going, especially in the first half, 18-6-4 with a block and a couple of threes. And I'd say that buy low window is closing on Gordon Hayward pretty quickly. Derek Favors, the illness is clearly not an issue now. 40 minutes, 12-16, 3 steals and a block. I would have said Gordon Hayward was clearly this team's best player. Favors is probably that guy now. Rudy Gobert, yep, this is Rudy Gobert again. 7-11, 4 blocks, 1-2 from the free throw line. The one thing I can say about him is he's consistent. You know what you're going to get from him, and that's great. He just doesn't have those upside in those other areas. A bad night from Alec Burks as well, 9-3-4. But if you own him, then I think you just continue owning him. There's not much changes there with Alec Burks. The Golden State Warriors took on the Sacramento Kings. Started out the game really slow. Just couldn't hit any shots, but picked it up. Steph Curry, 24-6-3 with 2 steals and 2 threes. His worst game for the season, and it's still pretty good. Klay Thompson, 18-3-3 with 4 threes. And Andre Iguodala went 14-6-4 with 4 steals. So big games from them. Draymond Green is basically a guy who's a low-end triple-double threat every night. 10-9-7. And Festus Ezeli got another double-double in a start. 10-12 with a block. The bench provided pretty much zero. Festus Ezeli is an interesting one. Andrew Bogut is past the concussion protocol, so he should be back next week. If you own Ezeli, I would wait one game to see exactly what they do, but I don't think there's a huge amount of value. But he's only played 22 minutes here anyway. Bogut might play 24, and that's about it. You know, you're probably going to get still the same role. So if you did own him and you like what he's doing, then maybe not a huge amount changes. For the Kings, geez, there's some problems with them today. Darren Collison missed the game unexpectedly, has a hamstring, an MRI came back, and the results, according to the Kings, are not good. He is out indefinitely. Now, what does out indefinitely mean? It just means we don't know how long he's out. So I'm going to think it's a pretty severe hamstring injury. I've currently got him pegged at about 4 weeks. We need to wait and see exactly how long that is. It could be a not good hamstring torn off the bone, out for 4 months. We don't know at this point. Let's just hold on Collison for the next day or two until we hear some more concrete information. Rajon Rondo played 44 minutes, went 14, 12, and 15 with 4 steals. He's going to have to play big minutes now because there is no other point guard on this roster. So for some reason, Rondo's around. You want to go and grab him. The percentages are going to hurt. He was 7 of 20 here, but you have to go and look at adding him. Boogie Cousins was out warming up before the game, so he should be back next week. So that's going to reduce any value that Willie Cauley-Stein and Kostas Koufos had. Koufos went 12-10 with a steal and a block. Cauley-Stein, 6 points, a steal. This is why, again, I didn't think that Cauley-Stein was not a guy that I ran out to add. Even with Cousins out, he only played 20 minutes. He's playing a limited role. He's a rookie. He's not going to get big minutes. He's not going to put up big numbers. The Kings continue to befuddle me, though, with their starting lineup. They started James Anderson and Quincy Acey, who'd played a grand total of 4 minutes for the season before this game. Acey played 15 minutes. Let's hope we don't see Quincy Acey starting another NBA game this season. Omri Caspi played 29 minutes and went 10-8, while Rudy Gay went 22-7 in his 34 minutes. The Kings are a massive mess at the moment, and I think we all sort of predicted they would be. Obviously, injuries are having an impact this season for them, but hasn't been a great start. The Rockets got the win over the Clippers. Dwight Howard played 29 minutes, went 20-20 with a block. He also went 4-5 from the free throw line, so a big night from Dwight. Marcus Thornton continues to play just a truckload of minutes, 38 minutes for him, 16-4-3 with 3 steals and 2 threes. We don't know when Terrence Jones is coming back. I think you have to add Thornton everywhere. He seems to have played himself into a pretty decent role. I don't know if that means that Jones will play off the bench. I don't exactly know what it all means. But for now, Thornton's playing. He's playing well. I think we've got to look at owning him. Clint Capella, in his 19 bench minutes, went 9-8 and a block. And if someone asked me, do we need to look at Clint Capella in all leagues? You can look at him, but I don't really think that 19 minutes is going to be enough to hold on to in most sort of formats. Trevor Ariza struggled with his shot, 6-7. With a steal and a block, and Ty Lawson went 6-3-4 in 41 minutes, and he was even worse with his shooting. He went 2 of 11 from the field. Blake Griffin's pretty good. 35-11 for Griffin, 5 assists. Chris Paul sat this game out, so we saw Austin Rivers starting. He had 10 points on some pretty bad shooting. He added a steal and a block, so not a great night from Rivers, but he did get 31 minutes. Jonre Jordan went 11-14 with 3 blocks. JJ Redick had 19 points. Paul Pierce went 6-8-5. Lance Stephenson went 7-3-3. Not much to really take out of it, though. If Paul continues to miss time with his groin injury, Rivers is worth a look in daily fantasy, but not much really changes for the rest of this team. All right, that's it for the games. We're going to take a short break now and come back with the daily fantasy preview for Sunday. I saw your picture today. Got me thinking about the things that I would say. But I know you're happy now in your someplace far away, 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 away. And I can't remember the way you taste, you taste, you taste. I walk down your old street and I wonder if we'll ever meet again. Without a second glance, you turned your back, my friend. This is the end, the end, the end. And I can't pretend I'm ready. Okay, so now we're back with the daily fantasy look ahead to Sunday. And remember, there are a couple of early games here. There's two early games on the Lakers and the Knicks, and the Pacers and the Cavs is the other game that's early. So just have a look to wherever you're playing your daily fantasy. Have a look to see what your tournaments are, what games they're actually including, because that's obviously going to have an impact in the way that you set your lineup. Okay, let's talk about this first game, and it is the Lakers and the Knicks. There's no spreads up at the moment, especially where I'm looking. They could be up where you're looking, but at this point, there's no spreads up. Let's just know that the Lakers are not going to be favored in this game, and they're really poor in terms of yielding fantasy points. So there is some value with some of these guys who you might not think have a ton of value. Robin Lopez has struggled, but big men have put up huge numbers. Willie Cauley-Stein went off his head against the Lakers. Big men have put up numbers. Lopez is at 4,200. I think he's a decent guy to look at. Aaron Aflalo is considered doubtful to play. He should be back next week, but it's unlikely he plays here. So if you're looking for a minimum punt guy, this is really painful. But Saša Vujačić is not a bad guy to look at. He's priced at 3,500. We don't know. Derek Fisher might actually make a decent change to the starting lineup and get Vujačić out of there and get Jose Calderon out of there. But if Vujačić's going to play 25 minutes at minimum salary, maybe he puts up 18 points. There's a possibility he does it. And against a team as bad as the Lakers, this is the opportunity for him to do it. So in a tournament, not many people are going to be putting Vujačić in there, I reckon. So you might get some decent, a contrarian play to get you up the rankings. Just consider him. Julius Randle at 5,900, I think he's a decent guy to look at. He's had some big games, and I think that he's worth a look for the Lakers side of things. I like Jerian Grant and Kristaps Porzingis for the Knicks. 4,200 for Grant. 5,200 for Porzingis. I think both of those guys can be decent. And this is an opportunity where I really like using Carmelo Anthony. 9,200 going up against the Lakers, going up against Kobe. I think that this is a situation where Melo can easily exceed his value. So he's a guy that I'd be looking at there. Other Lakers guys, Clarkson, Russell, Hibbert, Bryant. I don't want to deal with any of those guys in this sort of situation. I don't think this is a great place for us to be playing them. Considering how bad they are in general, how bad Byron Scott is as a coach, and there was some interesting stuff that came out about Byron Scott. Matt Moore over at CBS had a nice article. There was a thing saying about how the Lakers, they didn't consider Kristaps Porzingis for their draft slots. They just thought he wasn't ready to play. I don't know how they possibly could have thought that, considering the guy's been a professional basketballer for years. So they passed on him because he wasn't able to, he wasn't going to be ready, and he was too much of a long-term project, which makes zero sense for a team that is shithouse. Why, even if he was a long-term project, your team is a long-term project. The Lakers are a mess. The Pacers and the Cavs, got a few injuries to pay attention to here. CJ Miles from the Pacers has been dealing with an ankle problem. And on the Cavs, J.R. Smith could be back from his knee bruise. LeBron James has got a sore quad. You'd have to think that James plays. Smith, we're not so sure about. Not a huge amount of fantasy value, though, in this one, I don't think. George Hill at 6,300 is probably the best guy on the board in terms of just pure value. Kevin Love, I don't mind, at 76. And LeBron at 10,300, if he plays, could be worth a go if you've got some other cheap options in there. Mozgov, Tristan Thompson, I'm avoiding that combination, same as Monte Ellis. And Paul George is priced at almost 9,000. Going up against LeBron, yes, he does love that challenge, but I don't really love the challenge of me putting him into a lineup. So I think I'll be leaving Paul George alone at that price. Watch him go out and put up a 37-point triple-double. But I don't think it's a great opportunity for me to be putting him into a daily fantasy lineup. the Raptors and the Heat is the next game. Damari Carroll is questionable with plantar fasciitis. The best way to fix plantar fasciitis is rest, so we need to be cautious there. If you find out that Carroll is out, then Corey Joseph at 3,800 becomes someone to look at, and as does Terrence Ross. Both of those guys will be the guys mostly likely to pick up the minutes. James Johnson is a bit of a dark horse, and we know that if James Johnson plays 25 minutes, you could have a 5-steal, 5-block game. So there are a couple of options, Joseph, Johnson, and Terrence Ross, if Damari Carroll doesn't play. Luis Scola at 4,400, I think he's an okay guy to have a look at. I'm not a huge fan of him, but he is averaging 22.5 points, and at 4,400, that's not a bad return against a team like the Heat, or I think he can put up some decent numbers. On the Heat side of things, there's no Gerald Green. Justice Winslow is priced at 3,800. He had a good game in the last one, and at that salary, you don't need much out of him, so he's not a bad tournament guy to look at. I'm probably avoiding Goran Dragic. I'm probably avoiding Dwayne Wade. I'm probably also avoiding Jonas Valanciunas. Don't mind Hassan Whiteside at 7,900. I think he's an interesting guy. It's going to be a good battle between him and Valanciunas. It could limit Valanciunas' ability on the court with Whiteside's defense. We'll see how it all pans out. But I don't mind Whiteside at 7,900. And Kyle Lowry at 7,800 is a decent guy to have a look at. But the Heat's slow pace of play does play some part in sort of steering clear from a few guys in this game. The next game up is the Phoenix Suns and the Oklahoma City Thunder. Steven Adams is considered questionable, so if he doesn't happen to go, then Enes Kanter will likely get a big boost in his minutes. He's priced at 6,500. He would be someone to look at in that sort of situation. On the Suns, I think that's where the majority of the fantasy value is, though. 5,800 for Markieff Morris is a good one to look at. 7,000 for Brandon Knight is still underpriced for me, and 8,000 for Eric Bledsoe. I think he still has pretty good value there. Russell Westbrook at 10,800. Yes, it's expensive. He is averaging 50 points this season against the Suns. I reckon he can probably get close to exceeding that, so he's a guy that I'd look at. I'd definitely be looking at him over Kevin Durant, even though I have to spend the extra $700. Serge Ibaka, Tyson Chandler, these guys are not players that I want to look at, but Enes Kanter could be the surprise guy if Steven Adams doesn't play. We could see a night that definitely exceeds his value. The last game of the night is the Detroit Pistons and the Portland Trailblazers. Mason Plumlee has been putting up some decent numbers lately. He's at 5,400, and Myers Leonard as a tournament play. He got back on track in the last game. He's at 43, so he's worth a look. I think Al-Farouq Aminu is a cash game guy and a tournament play at 5,700. He's been really solid, really consistent, and he's a nice mid-price player. While Marcus Morris at 6,000, the minutes are just there for him pretty much every game. He's definitely not efficient. It takes him a lot of minutes to put up decent stats, but while he's getting those minutes, we have to use that to our advantage. Same with Kentavious Caldwell-Pope at 5,000. The minutes are there for him. He's definitely worth a look, and I don't mind Reggie Jackson at 8,000. I think he's one of the better high-priced point guards on the board. CJ McCollum at 6,500. Yeah, he's been good, but he hasn't been fantastic of late. The fantasy stats haven't been piling up. His best score in the last five games is 31, and at 6,500, you probably want him to be a little bit better than that, and the Pistons are sporting a pretty good defense at the moment. That's another reason where I'm not sure I want to go with Damian Lillard at 8,900. It's not a bad option, but I think there's probably better options on the board. Andre Drummond at 9,200 has been on fire this season. I've got no problem with running him out there. He is averaging 46.7 points, which is obviously fantastic. He was a little bit down in the last game, but I imagine that he has a real opportunity to bounce back in this one. Let's now have a look at my best plays of the day. Bring that up on the screen for you. At point guard, as I always do this, if you're new to the show, three options at each position. A cheap option, which I consider less than 5,000, a mid-range guy, a 5,000 to 7,500, and then a 7,500 plus player. At point guard, Jerian Grant at 4,200, Brandon Knight at 7,000, and Reggie Jackson at 8,100. I think all those guys are values for their price point. At shooting guard, Alan Crabb's a guy to pay attention to at 3,500. He's a tournament play, and he's a cheap option to go with some other expensive guys, but he's been putting up some pretty solid numbers. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope at 5,000 and Eric Bledsoe at 8,000 rounds out the shooting guards. At small forward, already touched on Justice Winslow at 3,800, Al-Farouq Aminu at 57 and Carmelo Anthony at 9,200. The power forwards, Luis Scola at 4,400, Markieff Morris at 5,800 and Kevin Love at 7,600. While at center, we've got Robin Lopez, 4,200 against the Lakers, which is a great matchup for him. Mason Plumlee, 5,400, and Hassan Whiteside at 7,900. All right, that's it for all of that stuff. What I'm going to do now is a couple of listener questions came in, so we'll get to those and answer them right now. The first question comes from Justin Peel on Twitter, at Justin Peel. Is Bazemore officially beyond streaming for the year? Well, I can't say he's going to have value, this sort of value, for the whole year, but I think he's definitely a must-add guy at this point. You definitely have to add him. German at S9241993. Is it reasonable to drop Kobe in a 10-team league? I don't hate it. I would probably still hold on to him, but and it depends on who you're going to add, but it's not a complete what are you doing sort of move. There's reason behind it. Jason Rosenberger on Twitter, at Jason M. Rosenberg1. Can I talk panicked Mirotić owners off the ledge? He was my fourth round pick in a keeper head-to-head 9-cat punting field goal percentage. Feeling pretty stupid right now. Don't feel stupid at all, Jason. It's two games. It's two bad games. He started off the season on fire. You're a keeper league. You're punting field goal percentage. You're playing to his strengths. It's going to be fine. Mole Man, who's on Twitter, at Dr. Duma. Would you drop Mirotić for Bielica? No. Vivek, at VP90244. Out of Source, and that's Nick Stauskas, Gorgi Dzeng, and Nemanja Bielica, which two do you own the rest of the year? Sam Mitchell loves Bielica. Well, Nick Stauskas is the clear winner there. He's the number one player. Now, Bielica and Dzeng, the minutes are obviously favoring Bielica. Dzeng is the better performer on a per-minute basis, but you have to go where the minutes are at this point and go with Bielica, but I don't feel that strongly about it. UL Collins, and I've just missed his question. UL Collins on Twitter, at NoRimaxNilok. What are your thoughts on Bazemore, Bielica, Powell, and McConnell? And the legend of Sauce in Philly. The waiver wire is going to be fire emoji. I talked about all of those guys. Yeah, there's going to be some bids going on all these guys. They're going to be, Bazemore has to be added. McConnell has to be added. Bielica and Powell, depends. And Stauskas has to be added as well. Darnell Bright, Fantasy Football Whiz, Darnell Bright 4. What is the biggest issue with the Chicago Bulls? Offense or defense? It's both. Both parts of the game are suffering. They'll get it figured out. It's a new coach, 7-8 games into the season. They'll get it figured out, Darnell. I'm not too concerned, but both sides of the ball are a bit of a concern at the moment. The last question from Daniel Bradley at D2BNZ. Should we be concerned at Skiles' use of Toby Harris? It was he who underutilized him in Milwaukee, or was it a back-to-back anomaly? Yes, it was him that underused him in Milwaukee, and that was always the concern with Skiles coming across. Skiles is just a concern in general. We just never know what he's going to do game to game. Is it going to be 36 minutes? Is it going to be 25 minutes? It doesn't mean anything with Toby Harris, but if you are concerned, the next time he plays 36 minutes and goes 20 and 10, ship him off. But you can't drop him. It's definitely not that spot to drop him. I think that there's a right to be somewhat concerned with Toby Harris and the way Skiles is using him, but I'm not. There's definitely no sort of panic stations or anything along those lines. All right, that does it. We are done for today's podcast. Make sure you are subscribing on iTunes and on YouTube. And if you want to be a sponsor for the podcast for tomorrow's show, I've got a sponsor for tomorrow's show, but for the rest of the shows for the rest of the year, go ahead and leave a review and make it a 5-star review and tell everyone why you like the show to help the show grow. It's been awesome that everyone has done that. You know how much I do really appreciate it. Follow me on Twitter at redrock_bball. Check out basketballmonster.com and hardwoodparoxysm.com, both of those sites where I work. There's some great content going up on all of those places all the time. That's it. That does it. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya.